It is, of course, time for the Dictionary of Sydney, as we always have on a Wednesday. Dr. Lisa Murray joining me. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, you have been putting together something really quite remarkable.
Ah, yes. I've been dabbling in the archive, and specifically the City of Sydney archives, to uncover an extraordinary collection of 19th century correspondence.
Yes.
And in doing that, we've kind of put it together and created this podcast. So it's very exciting.
I'm really excited, but you were looking at a particular type of correspondence.
I was. So there's this amazing group of letters that the City Archives holds called Letters Received, and it's all the letters that the council received between 1843 and 1899. And they've all been digitized and catalogued. So it's now very easy to kind of go through them and search for keywords and try and find different things. So I thought, I wondered what people were doing in the 19th century. Were they complaining about their neighbours? Were they complaining about businesses? Were they complaining about the traffic? And the answer is yes.
A lot, by the sounds of it.
Yes. Quite a lot. So it was really interesting to go back and see what people were, lobbying the council for to fix or to assist them with or whatever. And so there were a lot of kind of common complaints, a lot of complaints about smell.
Smell, of course.
And smell was really a kind of indicator, not just that something was bad, but potentially something that it was diseased or whatever. So it was based around a miasmic theory of disease. So smells were extremely important. Of course, remembering we had open drains and sewers and cesspits in everyone's backyard until the sewerage came through.
And as you and I have talked about, a tannery possibly next door
and
to you if you lived
next
in the
door.
Rocks.
So there were potentially lots of things to complain about. You could also maybe complain about your neighbour who might be boiling tripe and,
yes,
you know, selling it. So these sorts of things come up. But then and there was lots of complaints about smoke, and which was obviously the sort of 19th century kind of pollution. Now we talk about smog and car, you know, sort of pollution from, you know, car emissions and things. But back then it was all about smoke from, boilers and coal-based fires
and things like that.
And then you get complaints about traffic congestion.
See, this blows my mind. I love this. Late 1800s.
Yeah, that's right. And, even amongst the letters received, not so much in complaints, but you can actually find traffic counts from the 19th century. So they were actually, you know, trying to work out how much congestion they had, how many horses and carts were going back and forth. But my favourite complaint of all time,
please,
is the complaint about the goat nuisance at Woolloomooloo.
The goat nuisance?
Yes. So a lot of people kept goats and they kept them for milking. So they could have their own source of fresh milk. And but a lot of them weren't just kept in backyards. They were allowed to roam around, and then of course they started to become feral. And so there's a great letter to the mayor in 1888 from James McVeigh, who's writing about the goat nuisance and says that their bleating keeps everyone awake at night, and that they'd complained to the police and that they hadn't done anything about it. So could the mayor please talk to the police and do something about it?
Come and shoot our goats.
Yep. Essentially.
All right,
so, you know, can we have a bit of goat stew, you know. But the council couldn't actually do anything about it. That's what's kind of interesting.
Really?
Because they could order someone to take control of their animals and make sure that they were tethered or whatever, and so they could fine them for that. But if they couldn't actually identify from the goats who owned them, then they couldn't do anything. And it was only the police who could go and actually sort of declare the animal feral, or what, well, they didn't call it feral at the time,
yes,
but and therefore take it in to impound it and then ultimately shoot it.
Well, you see, in my head, I've decided that they all got tripped over to Goat Island, and that's all Goat Island. I know that's not accurate, but I've just decided that no goats got shot. They all went to live
on
their own island.
They all went to live happily on Goat Island. We can start that myth. You should see if we can send a whole rumour around about Sydney's history.
Let's do it. Mm. But you have picked a couple of key ones of these and done them together as podcasts.
I have. I have. I thought it was a bit of fun. So we did a bit of dramatisation of reading of the letters and things. And then I do a little bit of a commentary. So we've got 6 episodes. Letters of Complaint is called.
I'm really excited about it. We're going to make sure we get a link up to it on the 2SER.com website.
Yeah.
And, of course, people can go to Dictionary of Sydney if they want to find out some more information about everything else you do.
That's right. And the City Archives has so many great things that are represented on the Dictionary of Sydney. So it's a great place to look for the gems
what
in our archives.
A wonderful little collaboration, you doing that with the City Archives. That's wonderful. Dr. Lisa Murray, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
We'll do more Dictionary of Sydney this time next week.